So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Everybody, and welcome back to another 30 minutes of Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom coming at you loud and clear here, and I'm going to kind of start this show here with something that just caught my attention when I saw this headline. It says, Texas adoption agencies could ban Jews, gays, and Muslims. Well, of course, my ears perked up at this, and I had to read this story. Now, it appears that in Texas, parents that are wanting to adopt children may actually very soon be rejected by state-funded or private agencies who have religious objections to them being Jewish, Muslim, gay, single, or maybe even interfaith couples. And this comes under a proposal in the new legislature, which is now obviously Republican-controlled. Now, this is interesting because the whole religious freedom exemption has been pushed over the past couple of years to legally discriminate or to skirt around the laws that keep people from being discriminated against. But really, folks, you should have the right to discriminate if you don't agree with how someone is or you don't like them. If you don't like someone, you should not be forced to serve them food or drinks. You should not be forced to sell them toys. Unfortunately, these anti-discrimination laws go completely the opposite direction, and they've ruined everything. You know, if I don't like you, why should I want you in my establishment? I should have the right to say, no, I don't want you there. We learn this from the movie Billy Jack, right? Well, apparently, Texas is taking the reins on this. Now, five other states have already passed laws that are fairly similar that protect faith-based adoption organizations who refuse to place children with gay parents or other households on religious grounds. But the curious thing here is that Texas's rule would extend to state-funded agencies as well. Now, only South Dakota has a law that goes that far. Now, this bill had been scheduled for debate and approval this past Saturday in the State House, but lawmakers, as usual, got bogged down with other matters, so it's going to come up sometime either this week or next week. And this is going to be interesting to watch, folks. The Republican sponsors of this bill in Texas say that it's designed to support the religious freedom of adoption agencies and foster care providers. Now, many of the agencies are private and faith-based, but still receive state funds, so here's where it gets kind of murky. Now, opponents of this claim that it robs children of stable homes while funding discrimination with taxpayer dollars. Now, this is a quote by a Catherine Oakley, who is the Senior Legislative Counsel for the Human Rights Campaign. She says, This would allow adoption agencies to turn away qualified, loving parents who are perhaps perfect in every other way because the agency has a difference in religious belief. This goes against the best interest of the child. And she says that this blatantly violates the Constitution. I don't see how. But she goes on to say, as a governmental entity, Texas is bound to treat people equally under the law. This is a violation of equal protection under the law. Well, okay, so I see her argument on this. But again, what about my right to not want to associate with someone? That should supersede your right to be associated with someone, right? It's just as wrong to force people to be together as it is to force them to be apart. So this is going to be very interesting as this progresses, because I think it's going to set the tone for a lot of other legal issues across the country. If this can be actually extended to state-funded adoption agencies as well, that is going to be a huge precedent. Now, James Frank, who is a state representative, he was the guy that actually authored this bill, says it's designed to address the state's foster care crisis by making reasonable accommodations so everyone can participate in the system. You gotta love the wording in this. Everyone is welcome, but you don't have to think alike to participate. That's pretty good. Now, in 2015, a federal judge ruled the state's foster care system violated the youngsters' constitutional rights. Then Republican Governor Greg Abbott decided that he was going to make fixing this an emergency. And this was going to be a priority. And the legislature has increased funding while backing a number of major changes. Be interesting to see what they are. Now, some chick here by the name of Suzanne Bryant, who is an Austin-based adoption attorney who works with LGBTQWXYZ clients and was one of the first individuals to have a legal same-sex marriage in Texas, okay, so she's a dyke, said the bill fails to provide alternatives for prospective parents rebuffed by adoption agencies. Say you call an agency and say, I'm Jewish, and it's a Catholic agency, and they hang up on you, says Bryant. The bill says you can be transferred to another agency, but there's no mechanism to set that up. Well, we don't care. Honestly, we don't. We're tired of your gay, Muslim, Jewish, and other priorities being shoved down our throats. They're not our priorities. They may be yours, but they're not ours. And it is so refreshing to finally see Texas standing up for the rights of people to just say no. We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Wise words by Dee Snider. Now, what's something else we're not going to take? How about federal land grabs, folks? Now, have you ever heard of a national monument? We've all heard of national parks, national recreation areas, and national monuments. Well, what exactly is a national monument? A national monument is a protected space that has not yet been voted on by Congress to receive national park status. Now, over the years, some national monuments do eventually get turned into national parks. Saguaro National Monument in Arizona became Saguaro National Park. Joshua Tree National Monument became Joshua Tree National Park. But national monuments are different from national parks because the President of the United States has the authority to seize land and designate it a national monument, pretty much getting the same end result as a national park, but by circumventing Congress in the process. And our past three presidents before Donald Trump have seized just a huge portion of the United States. almost, geez, I'd say a third of Arizona now is these brand new national monuments that I've never heard of. I was looking at a new Arizona map a couple of years ago. I was like, my God, where'd all these things come from? Well, now it appears that 27 national monuments, and most of them are located out west, under Donald Trump, are looking at the elimination of protections that have been put in place over the past two decades by presidents from both parties. And the Interior Department has said that Donald Trump ordered the review last month, and he says these protections that were imposed by his three immediate predecessors amounted to a massive federal land grab that should have never happened, and he is correct. Now, a list was released last Friday, and it includes 22 national monuments that are on federal land in 11 states. Now, most of these are out west, and these include Bears Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante in Utah, Basin and Range in Nevada, and Katahdin Woods and Waters in Maine. And the review also targets five marine monuments in the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, which include a huge reserve in Hawaii that was established in 2006 by George W. Bush, and it was expanded last year by President Barack Insane Obama. Now, Bush, Obama, and Bill Clinton were among a host of presidents who protected hundreds of millions of acres under a 1906 law that authorizes the president to declare federal lands and waters as monuments and restrict their use. Well, I just kind of, you know, explained this to you a little bit earlier, how that works. But it has been really, really misused over the years. And Trump has said that these protections that were imposed by his predecessors unilaterally put millions of acres of land and water under strict federal control, which eliminated the ability of the people who actually live in those states to decide how best to use that land. Amen. Again, this goes back to states' rights. If a state wants to declare a monument, if the citizens vote on this, because there are state monuments as well as national monuments, then that's fine. But the federal government has no business coming in and seizing these lands and deciding that they should become a preserve. That's wrong, totally wrong. And the land controls have gotten worse and worse and worse. And now we're going to free it up, which is what should have happened in the first place, Donald Trump said at a signing ceremony making his this executive order into law. Now, Trump also accused Obama in particular of exploiting the 1906 Antiquities Act in an egregious abuse of federal power, saying that he was giving power back to the states and to the people where it belongs. Amen. Now, last December, right before he left office, Obama just completely infuriated all the Utah Republicans by creating the Bears Ears National Monument on more than 1 million acres of land, which is sacred to American Indians, and it's home to tens of thousands of archaeological sites, which include ancient cliff dwellings. Well, that's nice, and this stuff should be preserved, but not with the stroke of a pen. There are other ways to go about doing this. Now, Republicans in Utah asked Trump to take the unusual step of reversing Obama's decision. They said the monument designation will stymie growth by closing the area to new commercial and energy development. The Antiquities Act does not give the president explicit power to undo a designation, and no president has ever taken such a step. Well, we have never had a president like Donald Trump before, so he is taking steps that no one has ever taken before. Now, Trump's order is also going after the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in Utah, which I would assume is, because I've been in that area, and it was public land back then. You have the Escalante Desert, and the Grand Staircase is just outside of Capitol Reef, if I'm remembering correctly. But this national monument was created by Bill Clinton in 1996, and Katahdin Woods and Waters in Maine was created last year by Obama. And that's only 87,500 acres. And it's the only one of the 22 monuments which are under review that's smaller than 100,000 acres, which is interesting. Now, another interesting thing about Katahdin is this was purchased by a co-founder of Burt's Bees by the name of Roxanne Quimby, and her foundation purchased this and donated it to the federal government. So now that's one that I don't agree with. If that was a gift to the federal government, then yes, that should be left alone. But of course, everybody else is weighing in on this, and the Interior Secretary is a guy by the name of Ryan Zinke, and he was directed to produce an interim report next month and make a recommendation on bear's ears and then issue a final report within 120 days. Now, he's planning on going out to visit Bear's Ears and the Grand Staircase earlier this coming week. And he said the department, for the first time, is seeking public comments on national monument designations. Well, it's about time. Shouldn't we have had input in the past? No, yes. I mean, it's not your decision to just take this stuff over. Unfortunately, public comment is not required when presidents create monuments under the Antiquities Act. Well, again, Donald Trump is throwing a wrench into the gears. Now, the request for comments will finally give a voice to local communities and states when it comes to Antiquities Act monument designations. Now, Zinke said this in a statement, and he continued, "There is no predetermined outcome on any monument." Of course, the environmental groups are jumping all over this and saying the Trump administration is once again intent on lifting protections for federal lands. And Travis Nichols of Greenpeace USA said that Trump wants to carve up this beautiful country into as many corporate giveaways for the oil and gas industry as possible. Well, that's not true. Now, he wants the public to resist the latest in a trend of senseless rollbacks by the Trump White House and demand the Interior Department protect the land and water for people in their states and across the country. Well, once again, these states belong to the people. They do not belong to the federal government. So it is up to the people to make the decision, not the president. So once again, I applaud President Donald J. Trump for going outside the box and reversing some damage that has been done. Got to take a short break here. Here are a couple commercials, and I'll be back in a couple minutes, folks.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective. Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
And now, a public service announcement.
Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat. Turn around, don't drown, your car, it will not float. So when the water starts to rise, open your eyes, have yourself a plan. Use your head and think, don't let your dreams sink, it's just that easy you can. Turn around, don't drown, your car is not a boat.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Oh man, I gotta tell you, these allergies are absolutely killing me. I've been trying to get through this show here, but I'm sure it's coming through that I don't sound like I usually do. It's just really gotten a hold of me. You know, you take the antihistamines and stuff, and sometimes it works and sometimes I don't. I really don't know what's going on, whether it's tree pollen or mold or whatever, but it hits me about this time every year, so I apologize for sounding really gravelly here, folks. Just trying to push through. Oh, by the way, what did you think of that public service announcement? That is a real commercial, folks. Believe it or not. The first time I heard it, I thought it was a joke. That was a real public service announcement put out here in the state of North Carolina last year. Finally able to find that on YouTube. Wanted to play that for you. I think what I'm going to do one of these days is to just to get a whole bunch of those kind of commercials together and run them either in the commercial segment, or if I get enough, maybe just put everything together for like a filler show with one of these days where, you know, I'm not able to be here if I got to be out of town or emergency comes up or something. I need to have a show that's kind of generic, because most of the stuff that I do is revolving around, you know, current political climates. So if I can't make it and I ask them to put on an older show, then it may not always make sense, because it's like old news to you and you're wondering what's going on. But if I have a generic show like that that I can run, I think I'll put one of those together. But it's really funny, some of these commercials that are out there. And by the way, if you've heard a funny commercial that's local to your area, please, you know, send me a link to that so I can add it to this collection. So for the final segment, I want to talk to you about black feminists, because they are a big thorn in our side. Now, black women are, for some reason, very violent, and they are the ones that are more militaristic. You get into some of these African countries, it's not the black men who are the really violent and bloody and gory ones, it is the black women. And now they have begun asserting themselves here in the United States. Now, in 2015, on the 27th of June, a negress by the name of Bree Newsom from Charlotte, North Carolina, climbed up the flagpole at the State House in Columbia, South Carolina, and removed the Confederate flag. And she was subsequently arrested for this, but it was a statement. And it appears that a new generation of black women is moving to take and keep in place themselves in the forefront on their considered fight against racial bias. Well, there's the racial bias is against the white folks, people. Let's just make sure that we understand that. Now, she took down the Confederate flag in South Carolina, and another negress by the name of Leisha Evans, quoted here, calmly faced down officers in riot gear at a Baton Rouge march. Well, these people are nothing but troublemakers. Now, there's been a lot of photographs of these and other violent negresses that have been put out there, and it offers some of the most arresting images that have recently emerged from the protest movement over the years. And these photos have come to symbolize the effort by today's African-American women, as this article calls them, to take and keep a place in the forefront of the fight against racial bias in law enforcement, the workplace, and politics. We, as feminists of color, has been involved in building these movements over the decades, but we has never been acknowledged as leaders, said Barbara Smith, co-founder of the Combahee River Collective, which is reported to be an early and influential black feminist group. Unlike many of their predecessors from previous decades, this generation of black women is demanding that they be respected. They can assert that publicity and have impact and visibility because of the movement work that has come before, Smith said. Now, Newsom climbed the flagpole in 2015 to tear down the Confederate flag in the aftermath of the attack at the Charleston church where Dylann Roof shot 9 worshipers while they were in their Bible study. We've discussed this before. It was not right, but everything that happened after that, the attack on the Confederate flag, it was uncalled for. And it's, you know, I don't know where this is going to go. Now, this article says that historically, black women have been no strangers to the quest for social change. Sojourner Truth was a leading abolitionist. Ida B. Wells led the crusade against lynching during the 20th century. Fannie Lou Hamer demanded voting rights in the 1960s. And black women founded the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, folks, that right there just brings everything together. I told you that black women are violent. Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. And all this does is emphasize what I told you earlier. This isn't going to go away anytime soon. These people have gotten a taste of, well, I really don't know what you would call it, not a taste of freedom, but the ability to operate without any repercussions. And they feel that they're invincible, that they're untouchable, and that they can do anything that they want and get away with it without any legal ramifications. And for the most part, they're right, because this country has gone on for so long letting them do this and get away with it, that they now feel that they can do this. And if you stand up and say anything, you're automatically labeled a racist. I think the next 4 years are going to be very interesting, folks, because I think we're going to see a change that has been in the works for a long time. This has been a long time in coming. And with Donald Trump being elected to the president, well, the office of the presidency of the United States. Sorry, cold medicine here. I think you're going to start to see people come out of the woodwork with all of their pent-up frustrations. And if the left makes the mistake, and the Republicans too, the establishment Republicans, if they make the mistake of trying to impeach Trump or take him out of office, remove him from office in any way, the Trump supporters are core supporters. They're the same kind of people that supported Adolf Hitler. And I think you will see a violent revolution erupt if they try this. Because this is our last chance. This is our last shot at regaining our freedom, folks. Last shot at regaining our liberties. And if these people try and remove him from office, I think that that is when the thread will finally unravel and snap. And you will see armed insurrection, you will see violence, and you will start to see some of these politicians be taught a lesson. I won't get into detail on how I think they will be taught a lesson, but I think they will be taught a very, very violent lesson, the same way that Judge Joan Lefkow was taught a lesson for all the rulings that she made. As the white nationalist, patriot, musician, songwriter, Carl Klang said, "The winding thread shall stretch and snap, the straw shall break the camel's back." And I believe that that is imminent, folks. It's coming very, very soon. I'm out of time for this week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, be safe, my friends. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.